Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 2, Matthew chapter number 2. Of course, today we use this Sunday before Christmas, and we're grateful today again for the opportunity to celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have your Bibles, in just a moment we're going to read from chapter 2. We'll read 12 verses of Scripture, then we'll come back. I want to speak to you today on the wise men. I'm grateful today that I believe that God gave us the Bible in order that we might learn and apply what we learn in each and every one of our lives. And I believe today there's a great deal of lessons to be learned from the wise men. I've preached on it before, but I don't believe we can ever exhaust the Word of God or ever come to the point to where we don't realize that there's always lessons to be learned from the Scripture. And truly today, I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. And I want you to listen to this story. And I pray today, and again, as I say story, but it's an actual event that took place. Of course, and I pray today that God would speak to your heart. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2. The Bible said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, that thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Our Father, Lord, we thank you tonight, today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. And Lord, we never cease to marvel at the truths that we find in the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for every scripture that's ever been given. We thank you for every person that is indicated in the Bible. Lord, there's a reason and a purpose for it all. And help us today that our hearts would be open and understanding to what you have for us today. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom today. And I truly pray today that all of us would be as wise as these wise men were. And Lord, I pray today that you'd give us the understanding that we might believe and have faith to know that Jesus Christ did come as a babe, and he did die on a cross for our sin, and he will save and give eternal life to whosoever shall call upon his name. And Father, today I pray if there's one here that's never done that, I think how greater day it could be than to see somebody put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask now that you would guide and direct, have your willing way, we pray, and we'll surely give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. True, today when we think of wise men, we think of a lot of things. And truly, in our lives, I think of myself, and I'm grateful. And I don't think of myself as a wise man necessarily, but I think of myself, and I thank God for what he's given me and the brain he's given me. But when I think of a wise man, I think of somebody that is well-learned, somebody that has a great capacity for thinking. In fact, when it refers to the wise men, the word literally means magi. I believe these men, these wise men, were not just wise men like maybe some of us are, but they were wise men in that I believe some of them was astrologers, and some of them maybe had other things that was going on. They were real smart, perhaps maybe in their thinking and what they did. And yet they laid aside everything that they knew and by faith followed a star in order that they might come to the place where Jesus was. And I think today how we live in a society today, and here's what's happened in America today. In fact, most people don't look at us that are people of faith as being very wise. In fact, they refer to us in some very derogatory ways, and they make fun of us, and they say a lot of things because they think we're weak because we believe in something here that really does not exist. I'll tell you today, one day, and again, I could just stop right here, but I can tell you one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And truly, I don't think that we're going to be wanting to say, goody, 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 I told you so. Listen, our prayer today is that people will listen to the truth of the Word of God and be saved. I'm grateful to hear in my lifetime of people that were very wise men. And when I say wise, and I know we've got a lot of wise people here today, you're wise just by being here. But I'm talking about wise men probably that are well educated. You know, sometimes you have to put away that critical thinking. Some people can be so smart that they say, well, that's impossible. That could never happen. I submit to you today, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. And it makes no difference what anybody else says. You can put away all the critical thinking you want to. You can put all the Murphy's Law and other things that we talk about. You can put them in your pocket and forget about them. Because when it comes to God, God is a miracle-working God. Somebody was telling me about the funeral of the day, and they said, truly, that was a Christmas miracle. I want to say to you today, it is. I think it's a miracle anytime. Listen, back in the day, there was 5,000 saved in one day, but yet here, listen, in our day, it's pretty good if 20 are saved. It's good even if one gets saved. When people come to the point of understanding that all the education they had does not matter if they do not believe in the true living God. Now, these men were well educated, but I want you to understand what they did. We find that understanding that these men probably left their homes and they went through a great deal of traveling through the mountains and the deserts to get to the place. I believe they were probably from Mesopotamia, and that was a long journey. It was a long, difficult journey for them to get to Bethlehem. They endured harsh conditions. Most wise men, and again, when I refer to that, I know we got wise men here, okay? And I'm not saying you're not, okay? But I'm talking about these men. I believe that they were really wise. They were very bright, and they had gifts maybe some of us do not have. And by the way, usually people like that have a tendency to disregard the things of God. But these men left all they had. Now, again, I don't know what the circumstances were. I don't know what the economy was. I don't know what kind of jobs they had. But obviously, they left everything in order that they might follow a star. So today, I think how it's important for you and I that we follow the star of the Lord Jesus Christ. They was on their way. They journeyed, and no doubt they faced bandits. No doubt they faced evil men as they traveled. But I tell you, the reason they took the trip is because they was basing it on the Word of God. You said, well, preacher, how do you know that they were basing on the Word of God? I believe when the Jews were taken captive into Babylon, I believe they took with them the Word of God. I believe not only did they take the Word of God, but I believe there's little doubt that the Jews shared the Scripture with the people of Babylon. In fact, there's one passage of Scripture in the Old Testament that I believe probably arrested their attention and made them think about what they were doing and where they were going. And it's found in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. You don't have to turn there, but you might want to jot it down. I think it's a significant passage of Scripture. But here's what it said in Numbers 24, 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. And when Jesus was born in faraway Israel, the star mentioned in that passage of Scripture, I believe, appeared in the sky and it caught their attention. These were wise men, not dummies. It was not some guy that didn't have any hope and he was searching for gold at the end of the rainbow. He wasn't playing the lottery. He saw a star, and by faith, they decided that they would follow that star and come to the place where the Lord was. They associated with the appearance of that star as the appearing of our Lord and Savior. You know, there's some people today, they're still looking for him. And I tell you today, thank God, we're not looking for him. We know where he's at, but what we need today is men to seek him. I think a few years ago, Corky made a bunch of tags and gave out to some of you folks and said, wise men still seek him. And I'm grateful today that wise men do seek him. And I'm grateful today that I was raised in a home where the Word of God was taught. And I learned early in my life that if I wanted success, if I wanted to see God's blessings, that I needed to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the most important person that comes my way. When Jesus was born in faraway Israel, the star drove them to there. So we learn here the lessons that we learn. Now, by the way, a lot of people have the misguided idea, and most all Christmas stories that you have include the wise men. But the wise men did not come to the manger scene. If you see in verse number 2, it talks about when they came to the house where Mary's mother was. They came a long way. This was not something that could have happened overnight and they could have got there in a real hurry. But yet they came as soon as they could and they traveled over a long period of time, over harsh conditions to get where they were. These were wise men. You know, today we live in a society where folks sometimes don't think people are wise. I've related to this on many occasions, and I'll continue to do that, I guess, until the day I die. But I tell you, I had a mom and dad, and I love them, and I miss them. I wish they were still around. But I'm going to be honest, when I became a teenager, I thought my daddy and mother was the dumbest people in all the world. I'm saying that with respect today. I know better. But in that time, I really went through a stage. I got aggravated with them, and I could not understand their thinking, and why in the world would they do such a thing? Until I got a little bit older, and I began to evaluate and understood that what they did for my protection. They did it because they loved me. And I'm going to say today, my mother and daddy was the smartest people in the world. I tell you today, as I look back, I'm grateful. I don't believe I'd be standing here preaching the Word of God had it not been for my mother and daddy that was crazy back in those days and made some stupid decisions, I thought, to make me do what was right. But thank God it was through the preaching of the Word of God that God continued to grasp a hold of my heart. You see, sometimes we go through life and we think perhaps that nobody knows anything. But I tell you, the smartest people in the world, the smartest parents in the world, are parents that are raising their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's parents that are reading their Bible with their children and praying and teaching them that there is a God. And I want to be careful here, but I'm going to tell you something today. We go through life and we celebrate Christmas, and I enjoy Christmas and I enjoy all the festivities. But I want to tell you, we think about St. Nicholas or Santa Claus as we know him. And we tell the story. But friend, we know today that it's just that. It's just a story. And yet the reality of it is, I don't want people to ever get to thinking that Jesus is just another figment of our imagination or someone that is not existent in what they do. First of all, I want you to see today the first lesson we'll learn. It's already there, but it's a lesson about seeking. A.W. Tozier said, a longing soul with scanty theological knowledge is in a better position to meet God than a self-satisfied soul, however deeply instructed in the Scripture. That's a powerful, profound statement, and I want to examine that statement, if I could, in light of this passage. The wise men, as I said, were from Babylon. They were Gentiles. They were separated from God and His covenant in Israel. And how is it that Paul described them? He said in Ephesians 2:12 that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Can you imagine the thought of being without God in the world? Can you imagine what it would be like going through life with no hope? I tell you today, I'm grateful that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I'm glad today that I have hope. All these men today, you and I have in our hand the completed Word of God. We have everything that God gave us from the beginning. We have everything that God's given us to the end. There's not going to be any more word given to us apart from the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But you know what these wise men had? They just had a few little scrolls of some of the Scripture that was written upon it for them to go by. The knowledge they possessed about God was limited at its best. I tell you today, we would think that we live in a world where people have heard the truth of the Word of God over and over and over again, and the facts should be convincing. It ought to stir our hearts to know that there is a God in heaven that is able to meet our need. But yet, you can't hardly get people to come to church. You can't hardly get people to get saved. People have no time for God. But I'm going to tell you, you'll have time for Him one day. The days are coming, friend, and I believe it's not far away. I believe we're living in the last days. Don't want to get off on that. I'll be there a while. But yet, they took little knowledge that they had, they were possessed with, and you know what they did? They just simply believed it. I saw a thing the other day, and it had a Santa Claus hat on it, and it said, believe. Friend, I tell you today, that's all right if that's what you want to do, but I tell you today, what we need is the Son of God. And we need a word that says believe, because I'm telling you, you can believe on everything there is and you're going to die and go to hell. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved by the grace of God, you'll die and go to heaven one day. They believed in it so much. Little possession of knowledge, little possession of truth, but they left everything they had to follow the star. I can imagine the naysayers. I don't want to run rabbit trails here, but I could get a vivid imagination here. I can imagine the naysayers. You dummies, what are you doing? Follow an old stupid star. That star was going to lead them to the Son of God. When they arrived in Jerusalem, first thing they did, they were trying to find it. They went to Herod the king. The Bible said in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. They went to inquire. They came, and you know what? Herod was jealous. He was wicked. He wanted, if this was the case, he wanted Jesus dead. In fact, he had done everything in his power already. And yet we see that when they came, they called the king of the Jews, and they came to the right place. They came asking the right question, but they took the light they possessed, and God directed them in their steps to a place where they could find light. The star was the light of the world. They have a desire in their hearts to meet the Lord. And you know why they wanted to meet the Lord? They wanted to meet the Lord where they could bow down and worship Him. I tell you today, the word worship means to prostrate oneself in homage, reverence, and adoration. It's a phrase, and I know it's crazy, but to think about, but worship literally, you think about it, there's, you know, the relationship, and I know this is a strange illustration, but I tell you what, you know, if you've got a pet or got a dog, you love that dog, I know you do, and that dog loves you, and no matter how unfaithful you are to that dog will still be faithful to you, and when he comes up and licks your hand, it's more or less him showing his appreciation or his love or maybe the word worship there. But a desire was birthed in their heart from a passage of scripture taken out of the Old Testament. God works in strange ways, doesn't he? And yet God worked with this passage of scripture. And I marvel today at the faith of the wise men. I tell you today, the Bible says, have faith in God. It said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Yet these wise men had so much faith. We don't have to possess all the answers to all the questions. I can't explain all the mysteries of faith. I wish today that I was wise enough to explain to you everything in the Bible. But I've read it enough to understand that I believe there's no mistakes and there's no contradictions. I believe it's the inspired Word of God. And all we need to do is take the Word, take the light of the Word, and take it to a lost world in order that they might see Christ. And by the way, as we're given light, we learn more about Him. He becomes more precious, and we ought to have a desire to worship Him like never before. Somebody said, I don't have time to read my Bible. Then you're saying you don't have time to grow in the grace of God. You're saying you don't have time to learn about Him. The Apostle Paul was a great man. He loved the Lord, but you know what he said? He said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I can imagine the wise men, perhaps as they traveled, pulling out the old scroll. in readings from Numbers 24 over and over again. That's all they had to go on. But go they did, and God honored their faith. Now, on the other hand, when they got to Jerusalem, there was men who knew everything about the Scripture. Herod, all the religious people, they knew the Scripture. They knew what the Bible said, but they were not believing. They were unbelieving. We find Herod calls the chief priests and the scribes. He questions them where the Messiah would be born. We find here the answer is given readily in verse number 4. When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet. These learned religious men had held the truth in their hands, but they did not hold it in their heart. They knew where he was going to be born. He called them together and they gave the answer. But they were not seeking him, only the wise men at this point. They had the truth. They had the word of God, but they didn't believe it. The sad day is coming when a person is going to stand before God and give an account of their life. And I'm going to tell you, when you draw your last breath, friend, it's over. It's over. It's done. I tell you, there's not going to be any more chances. You better know that you know now that you're saved, because you may draw your last breath tomorrow, and there's not hardly a service that we don't come to, that we don't pray for somebody that's lost a loved one. Yet today we have and hold in our hand the truth. And I'm going to tell you something, you're more responsible every time you attend church. You say, well, I'm going to quit attending. Well, that's not advisable either. But I can tell you, we're more responsible every time we come to church and hear the word of God. They acted when they answered him, oh, he's to be born in Bethlehem, and thus it's written by the prophet. But yet they didn't have nothing to do with them. They were not concerned. But here we find the wise men. They came looking for the Messiah. But when he came, you would think they would say, man, these people are going to be excited. But what did they find? They found people that was not excited. And I tell you today, we still got people in the world. I was reading an article this morning, a while back out in Texas, I believe, a police officer killed a man, and it was very flagrant and right or wrong, I don't know. But at the end of the court service, the brother of the one that she killed went over and hugged her neck and embraced her and said, I forgive you. The judge stepped down out of the box and came around and said, this is my Bible I read every day, but I got more at home. I want you to take it, and made the statement that your hope rests in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? Buddy, the atheist and the ACLU and all those people, man, they're raising sand. Where's separation of church and state? Friend, I'm going to tell you, the separation of church and state, we need to understand today that we have a message that everybody needs to hear. And I tell you, the world hates us, and we're excited about Christmas. We're excited about it because it's the birth of our Savior. They're excited about it because it's another party. It's more presents. It's more this or it's more that. But the wise men were very wise, and they came seeking. It reminds us that Jesus Christ humbled himself and came to this world as a newborn babe. It reminds us that he came in this world in order that he could die on a cross. He reminds us that Jesus loved us, Jesus died for us, and that thank God he rose again for us. Christmas is a message of hope for the lost, but it's a message of glory for the redeemed. He reminds us that those who seek him will find him. Those who seek him will find him, and those who find him will worship him, and those who worship him will never stop seeking him and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second point, and I only have two today, but a lesson about sacrifice. A.W. Tozer said of the wise men came to Jesus not to gain something from him, but to give something to him. Isn't that remarkable? You know, today, we often invite people to come to Jesus, and we tell them all the things he can do for them. And there's nothing wrong with that. We know he can save them from the wrath of God. We know that he can forgive their sins. We know that he can give them new life. We know that he can give them eternal life. We know that he will love them. We know that he'll care for them. We know that he'll walk with them and one day take them to heaven. We tell them everything Jesus can do for them. Yet our text today introduces men that went not looking for what he could do for them, but what they could do for him. When the star led them to the house where Jesus lived with Mary and Joseph, the Bible tells us these men presented him with gifts. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now they gave him some extravagant gifts, expensive gifts. They acknowledged Jesus as a prophet, a priest, and a king. I'm not sure they understood everything when they presented the gifts, but these gifts were very much appropriate because they pictured Jesus in the fullness of his ministry. Those gifts were valuable, and I'm sure they hoped this young family met the needs that faced them both in the future. But it's another gift from the wise men that captures my attention. Everybody can tell you it's the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But I don't know today that that's the one that I see the most. Look at verse 11. And when they came to the house and they saw the young child with Mary, the mother, and fell down and worshiped him. What a wonderful gift to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the greatest gift they gave Jesus that day was their worship. They humbled themselves, not that day only, but they began to humble themselves long time ago when they saw the star and began to make that treacherous journey to get to the place where Jesus lay. They were humbled, and they came, and they fell down. They didn't walk in and say, Well, we made it, and you know, you take care of us. We've been on a long trip. No, sir. They fell prostrate on their face before God. The word worship appears three times in the text that I read today. In verse 2, it said, when the wise men expressed their desire to worship the king. In verse 8, Herod lies. And I want you to know when he says that, when you read verse 8, you know he's telling a lie, but he said he wants to worship him. He doesn't want to worship him. He wants to kill him. Herod didn't want to worship. He wanted to put him to death. And that's proven in verse 16 through 18. The Bible said when the wise men went the other way, look, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked, that the wise men was exceeding wroth. That shows right there how wise they really were. He didn't fool them a minute. He was received wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, the third time is in verse 11. The wise men give us a glimpse into their hearts as they fall before the Lord Jesus Christ and before a little child, if you will, and worshiped him. As we move through the Christmas season, and I know most of the season's about gone, we're almost here. There's going to be a lot of activities going on, family gatherings. And I tell you, the tendency is to put family ahead of Christ. But I say to you today how sad it is when family becomes our primary goal. If it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't have a family. There will be gifts given and gifts received. There'll be big meals. There'll be trees and lights and all the trappings associated with Christmas in America. What does it start now in September? October? Sure it does, because they want your money. But in all our Christmas festivities, I pray today that we can remember one thing, that we need to worship him above all else. The Christmas season exists because God became a man and was born into this world. We ought to look for ways to worship him. Friend, I tell you today, you say, well, now you talking about just falling down and worshiping God? Well, that's a good place to start. But I tell you, Christmas, I've learned, is one of the best times to try to do something for somebody else in Jesus' name. It's a good thing to give somebody the gospel and show them how to be saved. You ought to do it year-round, but especially during the Christmas season. When your family gathers, open the Bible and read together about His incarnation and truth. Heard them on the news the other day. They was talking about going home for Christmas. They said, well, we get home for Christmas, everybody's going to be giving their political views on the impeachment and on this and that and the other. Could you and would you just this Christmas forget about all the mess that's going on around about in this old world and just worship Jesus? Just thank Him. I know where I could be, and I know where I am. And I thank God for delivering me. And we need to worship Him and praise Him and give Him honor and joy. Just sit around the table and enjoy that meal and enjoy that fellowship. Remember, it's only by the grace of God and the goodness of God that we're able to sit, exchange gifts. It's okay. But the greatest gift of all was given that day when Jesus Christ came as a babe in a manger. When you think about what God did when He sent His Son to die for your sins. He sent His Son to die for my sins. I know it's for all our sins, but friend, understand He did something for you. Instead of slumbering through the Christmas season, try shouting through the Christmas season. Instead of just sliding through these days of celebration without taking time to thank God, try singing your way through Christmas, exalting His name. When you hear the sermons preached, offer your praise and worship to the Lord God Almighty for His precious gift. Instead of asking what Jesus can give you, why don't you ask what you can give Jesus? And you know, this would be a great time of the year for us to renew and rededicate and determine that we're going to give the Lord Jesus this year more than we ever have because of what He's done for us. Friend, the wise men was a remarkable example of what you and I need to be. They came seeking and they came offering sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, they didn't have near the information you and I have, but all they needed was just a little bit to have faith in God. They worshiped Him for no thought of their dignity or what He could do for them. When I say wise men, again, I know we got a lot of wise men, but I'm talking about, especially when you get people that, you know, some people are just really brilliant and real smart. I wasn't one of them. But there's a lot of people that are really brilliant and really smart. Sometimes they're the hardest ones to understand the simple truths of the Word of God. They did the most important thing that a man can do. They worshiped God. Christmas is coming. It'll be here Wednesday. Is it going to be business as usual? Or is Christmas going to be different this year than it's ever been before? Because we took an example of the wise men, and we sought Him, and we sacrificed for Him. And we worshiped Him with praise and honor and glory to God.